Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 735, and we're recording on October 10th, 2024. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you've happened on a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And joining me at that intersection, as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally Draper.
Good morning, Martin. Happy to be joining you. You know, Facebook keeps track of things for us, and this week it told me that 15 years ago, we were celebrating Wells Tech turning 100. We are, Wells Tech 735. Who would have thought it 15 years later?
I did not think it. Yeah.
I did not either.
I cringe. Were we doing video back in episode 100?
I don't remember. Not yet.
But probably all the best that we didn't see ourselves back then 15 years ago. But it's been fun and we're still doing it. And one of the best parts, as I've said many times about the show, is talking to interesting people across the Synod, across the world, about technology and ministry. And this show is no different. We are going to be joined by Staff Minister Michael Babler from Victory of the Lamb in Franklin, Wisconsin. Hello, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Really great that you could to be here. I forgot how I stumbled on the fact that there is a director of digital ministry in our synod, but I'm glad I did. And I thought, well, that's exactly the kind of people we want to talk to. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your ministry, history, interest, family, whatever you want to share to help our listeners get to know you a little bit better.
Sure, sounds good. So like you said, here in Franklin, Wisconsin, that's just outside Milwaukee, for those who aren't so familiar. I have been in ministry for just over 18 years. The first 16 were as a teacher. So I've taught everything from first grade all the way up to 12th grade across a plethora of subjects. So it's been interesting. I've kind of always had an affinity for technology, which has, I think, led to, you know, where I am today. I kind of grew up in the era of personal computers becoming, you know, personal in your home. Mm-hmm. And so I was really interested in everything that they did. And, you know, I remember building my own computer as a child and hand coding a website for my church when I was a teenager. So, you know, I've always had that interest, and I'm really happy that that interest has been able to be woven into ministry, both in teaching previously and integrating technology at that point, but also now into just a pure church setting.
Okay. So, and you've been there at Victory of the Lamb how long?
Just over 2 years.
Okay, great. And when you're not working ministry or technology, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, lately it's taking care of our 9-month-old son.
August. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. My wife, Brittany, and I have that newborn still. So we're getting used to all those adjustments, and it's fun. It's great. Mm-hmm. When he's popping teeth, right? That's been our main focus lately.
Okay, awesome. So you're at Victory of the Lamb, and you are in a position that is not, I don't think, very frequently seen across the Synod, this director of digital ministry. What is it, first of all? And are you the first to serve in that role, at least in your congregation there? And kind of give us a little bit of the history of what led up to that position there at Victory of the Lamb.
Sure. So you're right. I think it is a unique position. It's a unique position for any church, really, but especially in the Wells, I'm not sure it's a very frequent position. I haven't met mm-hmm. anyone else with the exact same responsibility.
There's not a director of digital ministry conference in the Wells.
I wish there was. Maybe
not yet.
Yeah. But really, it's a focus on on what we as a church are doing in the digital space because we recognize the importance there, right? We understand that people spend a lot of time online, they spend a lot of time in social media apps and so on. And so we not only want to conduct ministry here in our building amongst our people who regularly attend, but we also want to be able to reach out further than that. And that's really what going digital allows us to do regularly at a very low cost and just be able to continue to spread that message that we have far and wide. What kind of led up to it here at Victory was somewhat COVID, I would say, but pre-COVID, Victory was very active in the online space and had a really good live stream of their worship service for many years with a large number of people engaging with that. And of course, when COVID happened and everyone had to shut down for a time and so on, that put them in a really good position to continue that work, but then also grow from that. And so Victory as a church had been considering, what their next step was as they were growing. And that time during COVID kind of convinced them, like, we need to really dig in and focus to our audience that's growing online. And so that's what led to this position. I am the first here at Victory to fill that position, and it's been an exciting time so far.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about what tools are in your tool belt, Michael. What are the main things that you make use of to be a director of digital ministry? And how well are they working for you? Do you have some gaps in what you're doing that you'd like to find specific tools for? Something along those lines.
I think there's a wide range of things that we've been able to put some attention into. And I think it's important to understand the intentionality behind every platform that we choose to use. We're not just going out there and getting on every platform just because it exists, because we'd probably spread ourselves too thin and we wouldn't be able to produce content that's quality and that really is reflective of who we are, and be able to reach people effectively if we're not understanding who they are on the platform and what kind of material resonates with them. So for us, we're on, a number of different social platforms, Facebook, Instagram. Recently, we've been more active on Pinterest and TikTok. YouTube is really big for us. And of course, we have our website, which we just redesigned about a year ago. And in addition to that, we've been focusing on a learning platform online too. So we're able to publish resources and courses that are aligning with either things that we have going on in our church, whether it's sermon series or whether it's just other items that resonate with people and the needs that they have, and we can provide some Bible-based Christian perspective answers to that too. So go ahead.
What platform are you using for that?
We're using a platform called Pathright, and so it's white labeled. It looks like us. You won't notice that coming out, but it's similar to many other course management systems, where we're able to create those courses and host those online for people.
Now, do you
Cool.
use that in an asynchronous fashion so people are coming in, going as they please, or do you have times where everybody comes together or both?
Yeah, we've run both scenarios. So in some ways, it's kind of replaced here at Victory. They used to host what they called Victory University or Victory U, and those were kind of classes that were centered around a specific topic or maybe a book study, and they'd be held traditional in person Tuesday night 6 o'clock kind of thing. And you might see a high attendance in the first week, and then week two it dwindles a little, and week three it dwindles a little. So we've been able to kind of take that same format, but we can put it online so that people can join in if it's that time together synchronously, or a time that might work better for them. So we have those options, and we also have just completely on-demand courses in our library too.
Very nice. So the tools that you use, I assume have different objectives. Some would be outreach focused, some would be education, like you just talked about. Talk a little bit about that mix, and if you could only have one tool, what would it be?
Oh, that's hard. I'll have to save that question because I have to think about
Okay.
that. But as far as the mix, yeah, we operate with a mindset of like an 80-20 mix in terms of our content. So we want about 80% of our content to be not about ourselves particularly, right? So it's not like self-promotion, whereas 20% then would be. So 80% of our content is going to be inspirational. It's going to be, Bible verses. It's going to be fun content that people are going to see and engage in. They're going to hopefully like that content where we're not just constantly banging them over the head with announcements
It's
about
not
our
just
upcoming.
marketing, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So we like to keep that kind of balance, and we see that working for us. And I think it's important that, our plan, I mentioned this a little bit before, but our plan is intentional on those social media platforms, for instance. We're publishing content consistently, usually every day. And there's kind of a cadence that we have as to the type of content that is going out each day, which makes it a little simpler to come up with the content. Otherwise, you're scratching your head like, well, what else do I post, right? So there's kind of a template that we have as to we're posting this thing on this day and this type of thing on this day and so on, and rinse and repeat. And so that same thing is true across Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We have that content that's being that cadence being published. And the nice thing about those platforms too is right now, short video is kind of king across all of those platforms. And so we're able to repurpose one piece of content in those four different places. So we're not having to do four times the amount of work to be on all those platforms. We can recycle it to a different audience because we're still hitting the ideal person that we have in mind. On each of those platforms with that same piece of content. And so I think that's important for us because if we were to have to publish a different piece of content on each one of those platforms, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's not, we don't have enough manpower, right?
Talk
Go ahead.
I just want to dig in a little bit deeper on that. So how the sausage is made is always as interesting as eating it. The team that you have there, are you just kind of doing this yourself? Who do you work with on the content side? And then are you doing the video editing, and are you using high-end equipment, or could most congregations find the wherewithal to do some of the things that you're doing.
Yeah, so it's kind of a mix of all the things you just said. We have a communications manager who is integral in this process. Also outsource some of our social media work, the graphic creation and the posting to someone else. So that's kind of like the team of three in a sense, where we're all working together to handle that. There's some very basic tools that are in our toolbox there. We're using Canva for nonprofits, which is superb, free for nonprofits, right? So if you don't have that, get on that. We use a tool called Vista Social to schedule the majority of our platforms so that it can be pre-scheduled. You don't have to go in platform by platform at a certain time and so on. And the great thing about using something like Vista Social for your scheduling process is you also get consolidated analytics, which is important to us to be able to go back and review what is it that has been working well this last month, and what are we seeing for trends so that we can stay on top of those things that are really engaging with people. As far as video editing, I would say that for the material that goes onto social media, 90% of it is recorded on an iPhone. So yes, it's very accessible. Being edited in iMovie or in Canva or in the native Instagram app. So yeah, those things are, I think, really accessible to the general person without having a need for high-end equipment or platforms. Now, some of those, we're taking content from our Sunday sermon. Well, that's recorded on better equipment, and we're editing it in Premiere, so a higher-end piece of software. But that wouldn't necessarily have to be the case. That's just the workflow that we have.
Wow, lots going on there. You guys are super busy. Do you ever sleep? Well, probably not with a newborn, huh?
Yeah, not lately with the newborn. No, we do sleep. That's good. No, but I think it's important to understand that once you get into your rhythm and you establish your pattern, it becomes a lot easier to handle all this, right? We're still coming up with new pieces of content, but we're still sticking within kind of the established rhythm, and so it's not as overwhelming as it may sound.
Yeah, I know just from my personal experience with Canva, just setting up templates and things and reusing those is super helpful there.
For sure.
So what are you planning for the future? Are there things that you're looking forward to adding to the mix?
Yeah, I think the prevalence of AI tools is becoming much more relevant to this kind of work. Right now, we're seeing the best output in terms of text, which is going to help us create captions and messages that really target and resonate with our target audience. So we're refining some of what we have come up with to make sure that it really, really resonates with them. Sometimes we'll do some photo generation. Video generation is still very sketchy at this point, but I think those things are coming into more practicality on the horizon. So that's exciting because that also can cut down on the time needed to produce some of this content. There are tools out there that will take your sermon video and, highlight some key phrases or quotes and create short videos from that you can post. We've tried a couple of them and we weren't personally super happy with the results yet, so we're still doing that on our own. But I think those things are, only going to get better as the months go on. I don't, it's not even going to be years at this point, thankfully. So I'm excited for, tools like that are going to make what we're doing a little bit shorter and easier, which then also allows us to expand what we're doing. We're able to do some more because we don't have to spend as much time on that.
Yeah,
It's
very
awesome.
true.
Exciting to hear what you guys are doing there. That's probably about all the time we have, Michael. If somebody wanted to explore this area of ministry a little bit further with you, are you open to that? People getting in touch with you and
Absolutely.
having a chat about it? Awesome. I assume they can just go to your website and look all you guys up and see your bio and contact information there.
Yep, victorythelamb.com. You can go to our staff page and find my contact there.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. Blessings on your work there, your ministry there. That's exciting. Maybe we can circle back and, we won't wait 15 years to do that again, but maybe around the corner we'll hook up and we can figure out how AI helped you and where what its place is in your ministry there. So
Yeah, that'd be
thank you
great.
so
Thank you so
much.
much. Yep.
Appreciate your time, Michael. Blessings.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. It's neat to hear the focus, of these kinds of ministries in some of these congregations where they say, this can't be left to chance or to somebody just hoping to have time to do this. They've said, we need a person focused on this. And that's pretty cool.
And Martin, did you notice he's a person focused on Pinterest of all
Did he say
things?
Pinterest?
He did. I
I
thought,
had
I
must
haven't.
have had my Pinterest filter on.
I haven't heard people talking about Pinterest very much lately at all, but it is still a happening place and where you can connect. How about
Didn't
that?
surprise you didn't dig into that a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Nice. But
Good
thank
stuff.
you, Michael, for your time. That was an awesome interview.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's move on to ministry resources. We wanted to call your attention to a series of devotions from Wells Women's Ministry entitled Reflections on Our Unique Callings. And it is a something you can subscribe to, and you get into the subscription tool, and ultimately you just every so often get a devotion sent to you about this very specific topic from women's ministry and where women can serve and where their gifts are. And it's just a neat collection of well-written devotions, and I think you will enjoy them. So we will put a link to that, and maybe something you can advertise in your congregations as well as something that I think is time well spent. So that's our ministry resource.
Gotta
Sally, you
make the.
familiar with this?
I have been following. Yes,
Awesome.
I follow women's ministry. They are just loaded with amazing
Oh, I
resources. This
know.
being one of them. I thought it was really neat that you found this to highlight today because I think Michael has a unique calling, and those unique callings aren't used up yet. And certainly, there are many unique callings for women and. And their place in ministry. 50% or more of us are women, so I don't think God wants us to sit on our hands. Good stuff.
Awesome. Let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, what do you got?
All right. Well, I was perusing my cell phone thinking, what's good here? And I found that I had saved a link to Let's Play Bingo of all things. And I thought that might be worth mentioning because sometimes people want to host different events or whatever, and bingo might be a fun one to include. What I had stumbled upon in the past, I think I was trying to look for games for a birthday party that we were having here. And it's a responsive web app. And so I added a link on my home screen to the app. And so it allows you to play bingo, to start a new game, and does the calling for you. It'll pick the letters and keep a history of them on a board on the screen, that kind of thing. So really smooth there. You can, set up all kinds of different parameters around what you're doing as well. But in addition, you can get your own bingo cards from the site. So you can pick colors and how many cards per page you want to print, and even decide to show different patterns. So maybe if you want to have an additional little game, you can make a pattern on the thing and show the pattern on the card, and then it just generates the cards for you, and you can print them out and use them for your event or whatever. And it goes down to randomization, down to every specific number on the thing. It's nearly mathematically impossible to have two cards that generate alike. There's other games included here, a 90 ball, a classic edition of bingo. Just a quick and easy way to set up a fun event, maybe for your youth group or something like that. I thought it was worth sharing, and hopefully some of you will benefit from a fun little easy game to set up.
Yeah, clearly somebody's passion, and they just said, I'm going to program this and I'm going to make it available for free. And it looks really well done.
Actually, it's done by a girl created this LLC. So somebody established their company named A Girl Created This. So I thought that was
Awesome.
cool as well. I forgot to
That
mention that.
is absolutely
Fun
good,
stuff.
good, good. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
My pick of the week is a rerun. And I pick it because I think a lot of people struggle with their input devices, especially mice. And this one I recommended, I think, 3 years ago. And I'm going to recommend it again because I think it recently went on sale. It's on sale for $50. It's a gaming mouse from Logitech, and maybe my pick is not just this mouse, but really any input device from Logitech. They are kind of so far ahead of everybody else as far as the ability to come up with quality tools. This one I like because it is wired and it is programmable. Some people say, well, wired, you know, I don't like wired stuff. Why don't we do the wireless thing? Wired is so much more reliable and responsive. And with gamers, they need precision. They don't want any lag whatsoever. So you'll find most of the gaming stuff is wired. Not that I'm a gamer, but I do not want to have to worry about connectivity. You just plug it in and this thing works. And the programming side of it is super cool. There are probably 8 to 10 buttons on this thing in different locations. That you can
Crazy.
program to do any kind of macro or shortcut or go to any website back and forth in the browser. One thing that I've always been frustrated with is tabbing through my browser tabs. So you can program these buttons to do that for you left and right, which is a super time saver. Scrolling is super easy. Ergonomics are really good. They've put some engineering inside of this, and all for under $50. That's a pretty good deal. So that is the Logitech G502, and this mouse is still being sold. So that tells you something too. Logitech G502 Hero Gaming Mouse. And the software has been improved, and it's super easy to use. And if you use like Logitech keyboards, and it can control that kind of stuff too. So and webcams, etc. So, big fan of Logitech. I think they're reasonably priced. It's cool looking stuff. This one happens to be black, and lights up, and all the things that gamers like. But I kind of like them too. So, Logitech, good stuff.
I was dying to ask you what game you play, and you say you don't, you're not a gamer. Certainly you
Maybe I'll
play
play
something with that.
bingo. Does that
Okay,
count?
there you go. I think that mouse will definitely come in
It
handy
will
for
do the
bingo.
job, right? Maybe I should. I've never. I grew up in an era before consoles, just before. But my kids were certainly into it, and my grandkids certainly are too. But just never have. But we'll see.
Yeah. I play a lot
I
of.
have time left yet, so maybe.
Okay. We'll hope for the best for you, Martin. I play a
Right.
lot of logic games on my phone.
Oh,
So everyday Wordle and Worldle, and Phil Wells created a Bible verse a day where you have to figure out where it is in the Bible. So I play
Oh,
that too.
really?
Yeah, it's
Well,
pretty fun.
that should be a resource or
I
something.
think we've
We've
talked
never,
about it a
have
long
we?
time ago, but should
Okay.
replay it. I'll
Still
find the
going.
link and throw it in the show notes. That'll be your bonus
Okay.
gaming pick of the week.
Little Lang Yap,
Yeah,
as
there you
you
go.
say. Yeah.
That's right. Good
All
old
right.
Cajun term.
Let's move to community news and feedback.
And really excited to share, let's see if I can get my screens correctly, a little background on glue. We've talked about this a bit on the podcast already, Martin. Actually, around the 4th of July, I was out in Fargo, North Dakota, and attended church at Pastor Dan Sprain's church. And he mentioned to me then that he was using Glue, Glo dot US, to do texting. And it's a free product for that purpose for ministry. And he wanted to spend some time and get to know it a little bit before he shared a lot about it. And the time has come now for him to share a lot about it. Pastor Sprain actually sent us an 11-page document that he prepared, giving you all the background on glue and how he's using it in his congregation, some of the challenges that are there, and all the good stuff that he's found. And it's pretty powerful. They give you a free phone number. They allow you to upload easily, like a CSV file or link to your MailChimp mail list to get people into the system. They send the obligatory,
Opt out stuff, yeah.
type stop to opt out and spam to flag as inappropriate. That's important language and required by the federal government as you set up a mailing list. And then give you 10,000 credits per month to use for texting. It has things like Automated responses, where you can set up an automated response if someone sends in a question about online giving or how what the service times are or whatever. I think you can have maybe up to three of these set up. I could be wrong about that. It could be a lot more. He definitely gets all into that in what he's written here. Let's see, three workflows is what it is. So if someone, you know, text baptize or whatever, it can send them to a form where they fill out information about their desired baptism or whatever. Another example supplied by Glue, a church can have people send in for an Advent calendar, and then each day it can, you know, trigger something that sends out a Bible passage throughout the Advent season. So, in addition to the texting, Glue offers a lot more services, some for free, some for pay. They also have a paid version of the texting that gives you more capabilities and things. So, lots of possibilities there as you explore the Glue website. Pastor Sprang does say that you have to, you know, wear your hat of discernment. It's not done by Wells people. For instance, if you just adopt their baptism thing, it gets into some language about decision theology. And so you want to make sure you're reading thoroughly what it's going to send out on your behalf. And then you have the ability to edit all of that. You don't have to use their canned responses that they've set up for you. So just, you know, making sure that you're comfortable with that. He did get into a lot of detail from some questions he asked of Glue about how that 10,000 credits works. And it has to do with your message length, whether you include emojis, believe it or not, emojis count for more when you're doing texting, and then whether you're including images, which ups the ante a good bit to an MMS message, which counts for more credits as well. So he gives his contact information at the end and states that he's willing to, you know, answer any questions if people have questions. If you are looking for a solid free texting tool for your congregation, it seems like Pastor Sprain is very comfortable with the Glue platform and the capabilities that it offers. So check out his write-up. Even though it's 11 pages, you can get through it very quickly and learn a lot in the process. So I really
It's well
appreciate,
done. It really
yeah,
is.
for sure. Appreciate that he shared that with us. Thank you, Pastor.
Awesome.
All right. Next up, I wanted to make mention that NPH has a new podcast. They're already up to episode two. Just a little while, they'll be at 7:35, just like us. But right now, two episodes of Faith Footnotes are available. It's hosted by Joshua Vick and Tanya Gerbing, and they're kind of focusing on Christian authors, common questions about Christian life, faith-related topics, etc. A dear friend of mine kicked it off, Pastor Luke Wary, who happens to be on the board of directors for NPH. So great episode, just kind of talking about all that's happening with NPH. And then already episode two with Pastor Jay Bicklehop, and looking at staying in scripture when life gets busy. So check out the new NPH podcast. While you're over at NPH, you might want to also get your copy pre-ordered for Christ Through Us. That's a pictorial history that they've developed to celebrate 175th anniversary of Wells. And you can buy it now through October 15th at a 20% savings off the cover price. So if you haven't ordered that yet, get in on that extra savings for this Christ Through Us pictorial history. And of course, you know, don't forget the other things you can shop for at NPH, including the fact that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So lots of gifts or gift cards available from the NPH website. So we'll have those links in the show notes.
Nice. Love to have more podcast partners. That's great that they're doing that. They would clearly have a lot of things for available for content for these podcasts. So I think they're smart in doing that. Good job.
Yes.
All right, I have one addition, and this is from Alicia Cameron, my daughter. She shared with me, and I thought I would share it with you, a podcast that it's not so much the podcast, although I think it's a good one, Marketing Against the Grain from HubSpot. HubSpot is a customer relationship management tool that we're beginning to put in place here in the Synod offices. She's been using HubSpot for a long time with her work. And this particular episode talks about Notebook LM, which is something we talked about maybe a couple shows ago. Google's kind of privatized AI, where you can plug in your own documents and it becomes the language model for the AI questions and the AI chat that you have. She's used it for a number of things. Most recently, she's kind of redone the forensics categories for the Wisco forensics meet. And that was a significant amount of work, and she wanted to put them into an AI and get some nice summaries that that could be sent out to the schools. So she was very impressed with what it did for that. You might remember when we talked about this, it created a very lifelike podcast with a male and female talking back and forth and about the content that you fed it. And that's kind of what this episode is about. I believe it's OpenAI, one of OpenAI's founders used this tool. I could be wrong about that. It could be one of the other language models or AIs. Basically did an experiment and plugged in and wanted to create a series of 10 podcasts on random topics that he found interesting. And basically he pulled his content from Wikipedia, pulled it into Notebook LM and said, "Hey, let's create some podcasts." And out popped these 5 to 8 minute, really, again, lifelike sounding podcasts about those topics. So it was not a dry, reference like reading of Wikipedia content. It was an interactive, very engaging way to listen to that content. During the podcast, he also talks about other uses. One of them is getting meeting content. So if you're going into a meeting and need to kind of get up to speed on all the different documents maybe that are going to be discussed or decisions made on, throw them into this. Have actually a little short little podcast that's made. Plug that into your MP3 player or whatever, go for a walk, and now you are pretty prepared or more prepared than you might be just trying to slog through these documents where it's going to pick out the highlights. And that's a really cool application. So lots of different things like that. So this podcast, again, is not specific to AI, but it is talking about marketing and kind of a nice fit with our interview today with Michael Babbler too, that there is certainly a marketing component and different tooling that is now available that never had been too. So thanks, Alicia, for sharing that.
Pretty amazing stuff. I'm
Amazing. Yeah.
thinking back to high school and those racks of Cliff Notes that were in the bookstores. And, like if I fed it a Tale of Two Cities or
Right.
some articles about it or whatever, I could learn a lot and it could help me learn. And so, yeah, just like meeting notes or prep or whatever, there's lots of potential here. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've heard different uses like that for AI, or let's say even just, you're watching a show or something like that, and you want to kind of catch up on the main characters. You can ask an AI to, give me a quick review of who all these characters are and how they relate to one another, and it goes out and finds that stuff, and yeah, it makes the experience a little bit more meaningful. So, pretty cool.
Very interesting.
Sally, if somebody wanted to share their own feedback with us, how would they do that? I assume there's a way.
I guess there is. After 735 shows, we
We
have a
figured that much
website. It's
out.
called wellstech.wells.net, where you can find all of our show history, as well as links to all different types of social media, including Pinterest, where we are very active and excited to be. You can reach out to us
That's
via email.
Royal We.
Wells Tech at wells.net will reach both Martin and I. And then you can also send us a voicemail from the website. You can even check out our calendar, which will be updated very soon to have all kinds of neat topics that we're going to get into on Wells Tech. But yeah, lots of great stuff at Wells Tech. You can leave us a comment right on the show or check out a lot of other resources that are available there.
Awesome. Thanks, Sally, for all you do and for maintaining wellstech.wells.net. That's no insignificant feat, all the way back to seven, episode number one, which was how many years ago was it?
It
I got
must have been
it,
about
17
17.
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for that. And thanks to all of our listeners for sticking with us. I don't know if there's anybody that was around at episode one or tuned in at that point. As Michael was just talking about the beginning of his ministry, that's about the time we started the podcast.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. We praise the Lord for that. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.